Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
What I got really excited about for this series was the opportunity to share some spiritual practices and disciplines with you all, and particularly some of the things that we had tried and experimented with during last year's Mindful Mondays practices. We had several meetings on Monday nights and explored different aspects of spirituality. And for those of us who participated, it was really wonderful and uplifting, and we often asked, how could we bring some of this experience to more people in the congregation? One really memorable evening for me was an evening that we focused on music. And it was just three of us, just myself and two others, Jody and Jim, thanks for coming. And I had selected a wide range of music, of some different kinds of music, a playlist that was over an hour long, and we just plugged the music into the system in the sanctuary, which creates this wonderful surround sound, and we just sat right up here, kind of in the center where the acoustics are most powerful, really, and listened to music for an hour, just all different kinds of music. The flute music that we heard at the beginning, some singing bowls with the sound of water running behind them. That cello piece that I love so much, played by the incomparable Yo-Yo Ma. Piano concertos, people chanting in a language that I didn't understand. People chanting in a language I did understand. Music of all different kinds. And then we talked a little bit about what moved us, what worked for us, what didn't, the differences between those kinds of music, what really seemed to center and ground us. And what I realized in that moment is that I very, very rarely in my life just listen to music. In fact, I could probably have stopped that sentence two words earlier. I very rarely in my life just listen. There's something about music, really, really deep, prophetic something about music that invites us, encourages us, compels us to just listen, to be still in ourselves, in our bodies, in our minds, and to listen. For me, it helps if the music is instrumental or is of a kind that has no words to it, or at least no words I understand, so that my mind doesn't start engaging in some sort of linguistic way and thinking about the poetry of the words and all the different things, but just the notes, the music that centers me and grounds me. And so after trying that in that mindfulness exercise, I then incorporated it more into my practice, in my own time, in my own life, to just listen to music, not even to sing along, but just to listen. What a wonderful discovery I felt I'd made. And that's part of what this series is about discovering some different ways that might speak to you. And of course, your take-home exercise this week, for we have one every week of this series, is to listen to music. So these inserts with the lantern on them, the Spiritual Affective Disorder series inserts, also include on the back each week a take-home exercise, trying not to call it homework. We don't want to sound too academic here, but a take-home, do try this at home exercise. And this week you're invited to listen to music, any kind of music. And so, of course, I told you last week, or I asked you last week, to share with me the kinds of music that you listen to ground you, to uplift you, to change your mood. And we have just some suggestions on the majority of this insert are many, many, many suggestions. Most of these you can find if you go to whatever music sharing website or service, or find something in your own collection. But here are some suggestions from your friends and loved ones at LUMC about music that changes the mood, music that lifts you up, music that grounds you. There are a few that were left out. I had a last-minute request to add Bon Jovi, which is not listed there, but know that Bon Jovi is on the list of music. And I had been thinking about using a song by U2. Their song 40 is actually just a musical setting of the psalm we just heard. So I was going to play that, but then I got into playing lots of songs during the service and decided not to, which means that U2 got left off the list. And there's hardly a hipster church in the country that hasn't attempted an entire worship service based around the music of U2. It's like if you love rock music and you love Jesus, you gotta love Bono. I mean, it's just kind of all part and parcel, right? So there's many more that could be added there. And I didn't put in any of the hymns, the beloved hymns that we love and that lift us up, because I ran out of space on the non-hymn music. 17th century English playwright William Congreve says, "Music has charms to soothe the savage breast." We often say beast, it's not. Music has a profound impact on us in all kinds of different ways. And what I noticed about this list of music that y'all came up with, apart from it being very long, very prolific, is that it's very eclectic. I mean, if you listen to all this music, apart from the fact that it would take you the better part of the week, you would also go on this emotional roller coaster of all over the map. Because there's every kind of music imaginable, I think, and there's many more kinds that are referenced or that we could add to the list that move us. And it really depends. That's what a lot of you said. It depends on what my mood is, what music I would listen to, or the mood that I want to accomplish. There are some that more than one person named. And in fact, the most often cited piece of music by you, Lebanon United Methodist Church, is Pachelbel's Canon in D. And there's actually been research into Pachelbel's Canon and the progression of chords in it, which is a progression of chords that's repeated across many genres of music, because there's something so pleasing about that particular sequence of chords that it moves people regardless of their affinity for classical music, for example. It's one of the most recognizable pieces of classical music, and there's something almost mathematically beautiful about it, almost scientifically beautiful about it. The way that a fractal spiral is mathematically beautiful as well as aesthetically beautiful. The way that a Fibonacci sequence has an inherent harmony in it. There's a harmony in Pachelbel's Canon that makes it appealing to more people than other progressions of chords. A fascinating thing that we saw played out in our totally non-scientific survey of beloved music, which I thought was interesting. There are other pieces of music that resonate for more than one of you, but that was the most common, that was the most beloved piece, or the most frequently mentioned. We use music to speak to many moods. We say that the one who sings prays twice. But we also use music to convey things sometimes when we get stuck in words, sometimes when we get stuck and we don't quite know what to say. What can we say on the eve of Martin Luther King Jr. Day but lift every voice and sing? Sometimes we run out of words, but music conveys more than we're able to express with just our words. It's something that happens in the lyric and the music together, or sometimes just in the music. And so we use music and we use poetry and we use the sounds of the world around us to convey and to shape where we are in our mood, where we are kind of in relationship to the world. So I invite you to try a different kind of music. Try listening to the sounds of nature as music, or the sound of silence as music, or you can try the sounds of silence if you'd like that too. Simon and Garfunkel is listed as one of those groups that we like to listen to. And to see how that moves and shapes us. That's what's remarkable to me about the Psalms. The Psalms in the Bible are songs. They are poetry. And they are sometimes called the songbook of the Second Jewish Temple. They are the poems and songs that the people would sing or chant together, many of them. And you can hear, you can experience that lyricism in them, the meter in them. If there was rhyme in them, it's lost to our ear, but we can still hear the meter and the the kind of rhythm of those psalms. And the other thing about the psalms is that they convey this huge expanse of human emotion and experience. They convey the things that we sometimes run out of words to say. Isn't it remarkable that at the moment that you would think Jesus has run out of things to say, at the moment of his death on the cross, he quotes the Psalms. He's not crying out a prayer of desolation. He is singing a song of lament and of desolation. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's not just a prayer, not just a phrase. It is an entire song. It is song or Psalm 22. Sometimes those songs speak words when we have lost the words that we would say. Sometimes they convey more than we can when we try to stick to precise language, whatever our language is. And so Psalm 40, which we heard this morning, takes us on this journey from despair into hope and back again, because it's not always easy or a straight trajectory in our lives from the need for grace to God's salvation, like it's just and we're done. No, it's this up and down roller coaster, like listening to our huge eclectic playlist. That's our life experience. But that's the psalmist's life experience too. That's what it means to journey, to try to be God's faithful one, but there are people who get in your way, and there's yourself who gets in your own way, and there's all the experiences of life. And so the psalmist weaves this beautiful journey in poetry, in song, and conveys this fullness of the human experience, the breadth and depth of it, where other words might sometimes fail. This gospel passage this morning, today is the day that we recognize and celebrate the baptism of Jesus. And this gospel passage left me with very little to work with. Not many words in that gospel passage, right? It's very short. There are other tales of Jesus' baptism in the other gospels that are a little bit more fleshed out, gives us a little bit more picture of what was going on, or, you know, who heard the heavens speaking and all that stuff. This one's very brief, very concise. And yet thinking about and reflecting on the baptism of Jesus, even where those little words, those few words, seem to fail to convey the breadth of it. But reading it in light and right on the heels of Psalm 40 with this whole vast expanse of human experience highlighted for me this week that in the baptism of Jesus, indeed in Jesus himself, in his ministry, in his relationship to God that he then invites us into through his ministry, through his life and death, through his teaching, right? That the fullness of human experience is caught in that. A few words can't convey what it means for Jesus to be human and to be divine, what it means for Jesus to be God's own child. This is my beloved, and with him I'm well pleased. That's not enough to convey to us the fullness of God taking on human flesh, of Jesus teaching us the way to God. Listen to what he says, a voice sometimes says, and that's it. It's not enough to convey the fullness, but psalms, songs, the music of our lives, the rhythm and harmony of our lives, there is where Jesus lives. There is where his baptism becomes our baptism and his ministry becomes our ministry. And so reading this brief story that reminds us of Jesus' entry into his ministry in light of the fullness of the psalmist's human experience reminds us that Jesus takes on that full experience, that he sings and hums and hears the breadth of our playlists, the breadth and depth of human experience in our lives. And while I was in college, We'd listen to lots of different kinds of music. I was very involved with the Christian organization on campus, and every once in a while, I remember a leader from that group getting annoyed at the music that some of us would listen to when we weren't at the Christian fellowship meetings, right? And might say, what would Jesus listen to? Like Jesus is only going to listen to Casting Crowns and DC Talk, which I played last week, which was definitely permitted when I was in college. Like Jesus would only listen to the hymns and the songs of the church. And of course Jesus would listen to those things. And of course the Word of God breathes into us through that music. But Jesus also speaks to us through Bon Jovi, believe it or not. And Jesus, I believe, would listen to Metallica, thank you very much. Because Jesus takes on the fullness of human experience, not just one part of it, but all of it, the breadth of the music of our lives. And so we can hear the voice of God in the sounds of music, in the sounds of nature, in rock and roll, in metal, in classical music, in the sheer silence. And I believe Jesus would listen and hum and dance along to those sounds too. So this week, listen. Listen, as we say before children's time each week, listen for the Word of God. This week, may your ears be open to the music of song and silence and the fullness of the human experience, because Christ's ears and Christ's heart are open to the fullness of that experience as well. Thanks be to God. Amen.